This is Doug Miller. It is my privilege to be able to continue the discussion begun last week about my life verses. And you can share in this if you'll just come along while we talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and here we go again into one of my favorite parts of the Bible. And if you say, well, it's kind of selfish of you, Miller, you want to get up there and talk about yourself, hey, why not? Got to talk about myself sometimes. And whether or not it's selfish of me, if you get a blessing out of it, then I'll risk the selfishness. How's that? We are in the third chapter of Philippians, and we began last week with verse 10 and got as far as verse 10. Didn't get out of verse 10. But I did read the whole passage, which is beginning with 10 and running down through verse 15. And I'll probably do that again today. I said last week when we began this discussion, this will probably go on for a while because this is just too rich to get through quickly. Last week, we talked about knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And today, we're going to get into the fellowship of his sufferings. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 3, verse 10, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. After all, people like you who are interested in dialogue and who pray for us and who pass the word along just by the word of mouth, you're the only advertising budget we have or we're ever going to have. Not going to spend money on that kind of stuff. And, you know, pumping the program. We'll let people pass it on by word of mouth. So call a friend. Tell them to listen. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely and only for the purpose of seeing this word go out. We don't have to do anything more than that. What we do is put it out there. It's God's business to make it fruitful, and he has promised many times that he will do that, and we will let him do that. We don't know who's listening. We don't know who's hearing. Oh, well, we get letters, you know, but other than that, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who never write. But I believe that all are blessed by the hearing of God's word. So, let us hear from you, speaking about writing. Always a pleasure to know that you're there, that you're listening. Answer any questions you have, help you in any way that we can. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. So keep your writing materials handy. And while you're writing, write down our webpage, www.dialogueministries.org, not com, org on the end. And that Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word. Okay, here we go. Last week, we saw the interesting fact that Paul, of all people, as an old man, 30 years after he was saved, in a Roman prison, is praying that I may know him. And I said at the time, what an amazing thing. Did Paul not know him? Oh, sure he knew him. Sure he knew him, but it was not enough. He wanted to know him more. And in fact, I'm looking at it right here in Greek right now. And let me just give you a kind of a running translation right out of Textus Receptus here. What he says is the knowing of him and the power of the resurrection of him and the fellowship of the sufferings of him, conformed or made conformed to the death of him. Oh, wow. Let me ask you something. Have you ever suffered for Christ? Well, of course, Paul did. He knew exactly what it was to suffer for Christ. And if you read back in 2 Corinthians, he goes into some length to things that he had been through for the Lord Jesus Christ, being stoned and beaten by rods and being shipwrecked. And he says in Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. This is not the stigmata that some of the mystics, you know, claim, you know, where their hands and feet bleed on Good Friday and all of this. Don't think that. That's not what he was talking about at all. He had scars on him that had been inflicted on him by enemies of the Lord Jesus. Now let me tell you something. Paul wrote to Timothy, once again, about this same time, he was getting close to martyrdom. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, friends, I want to tell you something about me. To my knowledge, to date, I have never suffered persecution because of my testimony for the Lord Jesus or because I'm a Christian. If I've ever suffered persecution, the most it came down to was someone making fun of me or maybe not wanting me around or maybe saying, let's throw a party and let's not invite that guy. Okay? Now, that may be, you know, if that's persecution, I don't think so. That's just the kind of thing that just about anyone goes through. And so I've had to ask myself many times, Holy Father, am I living godly in Christ Jesus? Is that what I'm doing, or am I not? Am I not living godly in Christ Jesus? Now, I want you to turn back, just hold your place there, and turn back about one page. And we read this, and I commented on it when we were in the first chapter of Philippians. And this is what Paul wrote. He said in verse 29 of chapter 1, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Given to you. Given to you. And I want to tell you something. This is something that perhaps you know this, perhaps you don't. If you do, then you'll love hearing it. And if you don't, well, you need to know it. Because to you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also for him or for his sake to suffer. Now, if I stumbled around as I was reading that too out of the Greek. I really am not trying to show off here because my Greek's not that good, but it's good enough that I can fumble my way through it. And the thing that interests me about chapter 1, verse 29 is this. The word given in Greek is not the standard word for given, dorion, a gift, or it's not that, dothe, it's not that. It's ekariste. And that's the past tense of charismai charisma. It's the past tense. And it is the same word that is used for gifts over and over again by Paul when he's talking about the gifts given to the church in 1 Corinthians in chapters 12, 13, and 14. And it is the word we get our word charismatic from. And it is the word for charisma. And for all of you out there, if you are a charismatic Christian believe in the grace gifts, this is the word that is given here. Wow. I think that is dynamite, to use another Greek word for power. I think that is just simply dynamite. That the same word, for those of you, you know, who you want to talk about your gifts, and I've got the gift of healing, and I can raise people up from the dead, and I can, well, the same word is used here for God giving to you, believers, the gift, not just of believing in him, but also of suffering for his sake. Now, let me just expand on this a little bit, and I we'll get back into chapter 3 in a minute, but I want to just expand on this a little bit and just talk a little bit about this. Paul talks about faith here as a gift, a grace gift from God, because the word charisma in Greek means something that is freely given. It can mean a gift. It can mean something that is freely given, but it is always given in grace. There are no strings attached to it. If you believe in Christ Jesus, if you have been saved, I don't want you, I hope you will not give yourself some kind of credit for that. And go around, you know, thinking that somehow you have been a good guy because you, by your own free will, and you alone believed in Jesus, and so on and so forth. Friends, that is only partially true. No man can come to Christ Jesus unless God draws that man to Christ. Jesus said it in John 6, and you can look at it and believe it or not, but it is the truth. And if Jesus said it, you had better believe it. Faith is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. And once again, go back and read Romans chapters 13, 14, and 15, where Paul talks about gifts there. Faith is a gift from God. And here you have it again in Philippians 1:29. What has been given to you by God? Well, one is faith. He gave it to you. No need thinking of yourself as something special. You are a trophy of grace. Oh, we sing sometimes that he fulfilled might see the travail of his soul in me, and with his work contented be, as I with my dear Savior. But look, there's something more here in verse 29. And this is also a grace gift. In his grace and in his love and kindness and mercy, he has given to you to suffer for the sake of Christ. Whoa. I didn't want that. I wanted the faith. I wanted the good things. I didn't want this suffering. Well, my flesh recoils at that. Oh, friends. Please, I beg you, I implore you, go back now, and let's go back and look at chapter 3 of Romans and look at what Paul had to say. He says he's praying not just for the resurrection power, to walk in resurrection power and in the victory and power of Jesus in his resurrection life, but that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings. And this word fellowship is one that you, a bunch of you out there, know it. It's koinonian. Koinonian. You've heard me talk about this word here before. It's to have something in common. It's the word used for communion, talking about the Lord's Supper in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The word to have something in common. And Paul wants to learn to know the sufferings of Christ Jesus. And he's looking at this as something that he's praying for. Now, you know, I told you last week, I frequently pray this prayer and these verses 10 through 15, back to God. And when I come to this one, I always slow down a little bit. I always slow down a little bit and think, well, now, is that really what you want? And I always tell the Lord, Lord, my flesh does not want this, wants nothing of the sort. But my flesh is ruined anyway. You're over and done with that. My flesh was judged in Christ Jesus on the cross at Calvary, and by his death, Holy Father, you have condemned sin in the flesh, and what my flesh wants has nothing to do with it. By your grace, I can look at this and see that this is a gift from you to me, and I want that gift. And Father, I have never suffered for Christ's sake, to my knowledge. If I have, I don't know when it was. But Father, I read that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Friends, do you know why I think I am praying that prayer over and over again? And if you're not praying it, I think maybe you better start. You know why I think? I believe that my very prayer is something that the Lord has led me into. I believe that He has led me into this prayer about suffering for His sake. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Now let me say something about suffering. Some of you out there are suffering terribly right now. You are suffering for a lot of reasons, and some of you may actually be suffering for Christ's sake. But look, everyone who is in walking in this earth is going to suffer from time to time. You're going to have physical suffering and mental anguish and suffering. And, you know, your children get in trouble and your spouse leaves you and it just goes on and on. There are all kinds of ways to suffer. But understand, this is the common plight of man in this sin-cursed earth, in this earth rebellious against its maker God ever since the Garden of Eden. That's just part of being alive, you know. Humans suffer. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He is specifically talking about the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Christ suffered for righteousness' sake. Christ went into death by the will of God, suffering for sin not His own. And to know the fellowship of His sufferings, and that's what Paul's praying for here, is to know what it is to suffer specifically because you are a Christian. And people see that and they hate Christ, and you stand in their presence as a representative of Christ Jesus, and your very presence is a condemnation to them, and they take in after you. And the suffering can be mental, it can be physical, it can be a lot of things. What kind of suffering are we coming into? Well, I can tell you right now, and don't you make any mistake about this, the fastest growing religion in the world today is Islam. Do not be deceived about this, friends. Look at any country where Islam prevails, where it is the majority, and ask yourself how they treat people who disagree with them. Now, they can come over to this country and talk all they want about love and brotherhood and tolerance and how they want you to be tolerant of them. Friends, Islam is not a religion of tolerance. They hate the Jews and they hate the Christians. Now, I didn't mince any words on that one, did I? I don't know what's coming. But I know there's a reason why I'm praying this prayer. And I do believe, I had an old brother one time who used to say, brother, this guy was from Northern Ireland, Tom McCullough. Brother, I fear that the saints will have to testify with their blood. It's happening right now in many places in the world. Places where Islam is prominent, where they are in the driver's seat. Do you think Christians aren't suffering because they are Christians? They are suffering terribly. Don't deceive yourself about this. And those out there who, you know, they want us to all, you know, love one, fine. Go ahead and love them. Be tolerant, but don't be stupid. Understand what's going to happen here. I cannot predict the future, but I can tell you this. If you stand for Christ Jesus, if you are living a godly life for Christ Jesus, then you had better start praying this prayer and praying it with joy, because this is a gift of God. And when it happens, you remember how John and James, when they were dragged in before the Sanhedrin in the early chapters of Acts and told not to confess the name of Jesus anymore and to quit preaching in His name, and they said, sorry, men, we can't do that. We have got to do what God has called us to do. And they were whipped for it. And James and John went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame because of Jesus Christ their Lord. When Paul was about to be martyred, he rejoiced. He rejoiced. And, you know, he said, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Friends, I don't know what the future holds, but I can tell you that it is no bed of roses. I can tell you right now that love, peace, and brotherhood are not in the future. They are not. I can read the Bible. I see what it says. We are heading forward into the worst period of judgment that has ever fallen on this world. It is called the Great Tribulation. Now, if you are a Christian, you will not be here to live through that, because you're going to be taken out of here before then. But in the time leading up to that, the stage is going to be set to go into this Great Tribulation period, this seven-year period, the 70th week of Daniel, and it is, according to the Lord Jesus, the worst time in the history of man. There's never been anything like it before. There will never be anything like it again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. That's what we're looking for. And all of you out there who think that somehow we just got to get the right politicians in there, and somehow we'll turn these things around, and somehow the present people who are in office are going to get it all together, and boy, we're just going to march on to Zion together. Oh, listen, those are all lies. These are lies right out of the pit. We are going forward into suffering and tribulation, and that's the truth of the matter. Are we going to duck that? Are we going to flee from it, or are we going to embrace that as believers? If I know Christ, and look at what Paul's prayer is again here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's his prayer, and that's what he wants. And he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Once again, he's not talking about the resurrection of the believers from among the dead ones, the subject that he deals with in 1 Corinthians 15 and again with in 1 Thessalonians 4. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the power of resurrection life right now. Right now. That's what he wants. And he understands that he is privileged, that he has been privileged and given a gift by God, the gift to suffer for the sake of Christ Jesus his Lord. And he embraces that. He doesn't run away from it. O cross that lifteth up my head, I dare not run away from thee. We sing that sometimes, don't we? And that is exactly what Paul is saying. Friends, want you to know something. God loves you. And if you are saved, born again, God has a great and a beautiful gift for you. It is the gift of resurrection life in his Son, and the gift of suffering for the sake of his Son. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.